A reading from Romans chapter 6. Paul the Apostle writes, I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, when a great crowd had gathered and they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have had nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away. And his disciples answered him, how can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? And he asked them, how many loaves do you have? They said, 7. And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. And they took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And they set them before the crowd, and they had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full, and there were about 4,000 people, and he sent them away. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our gospel lesson, the world would see in the followers of Jesus a miserable lot. 4,000 people, including Jesus' closest disciples, and all they could muster were 7 loaves of bread and a few small fish. Jesus says that if he were to send them on their way, many would faint on their journey home. They appear forsaken, though the Creator of heaven and earth was standing in their midst. So is the church today. It is often despised and seemingly forsaken, barely hanging on. Those who seek the greater food, the spiritual food, still follow Jesus, often at great sacrifice, satisfying their greater hunger while fainting from many physical trials. This is life in a fallen world. It may be due to man's squandering of resources. Sometimes it's manifest evil coming from a corrupt and persecuting government. Other times it's the result of a so-called natural disaster. Maybe one's own responsibility for a sinful lifestyle. It may even be God's temporal judgment or forefathers who have rejected the gospel. But most often, this temporal suffering is simply a mystery to us. Some of you, the missionaries gathered here today, will see suffering on a daily basis. It will evoke a myriad of emotions or sentiments. You will be ashamed of your own relative wealth, You will be frustrated by your church body's lack of response or the seemingly cold-hearted attitude of missionaries who have gone before you, or even that of the local church leadership. Yet the true church amazingly trusts that the Lord will provide. They will preach to you more than you to them in some circumstances. They will say with the psalmist, better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of the many wicked. Missionary Gary Schulte tells the story of a famine that occurred in Togo during his early years of ministry in West Africa, and the people of the Church of Togo were suffering greatly. Those in the city were eating maybe only three small bowls of rice a week. Those in the country, however, were eating one small bowl of grain or rice a week. Money was sent to help. At risk of life and limb, missionary Schulte contracted a truck and went in search of expensive grain in southern Togo and returned to the church leaders and said, I have a shipment of food or grain. I will go to the countryside and distribute those most in need. And the leaders of the Church of Togo said, you will do no such thing. Everyone gives an equal portion. But the people in the country are eating one small bowl of rice a week. Surely they need it more than those in the city, Gary protested. And the leaders of the church responded, it will be done our way. If you do it your way, the next time there's a famine, those in the city will tell those in the country to go find their rich white friends. And if you are not here to help, they will suffer even more greatly. So each received one small bowl of grain. You, dear missionaries, like missionary Schulte, will be frustrated even while showing mercy on the mission field. You will, without a doubt, often be criticized, not only by those who help, but those who sent you. Like Jesus, who had to leave the multitudes because they wanted to make him a bread king, it is often, and to some always, never enough. When seemingly alone in this new roller coaster of life on the other side of the world, think on this text. Jesus saw suffering and was moved with compassion more than you and I will ever know. His heart ached and aches in a way that we can't begin to imagine. If you think your heart is tender, you are only beginning to understand the tender mercies of God, who would send his only begotten Son into this world to suffer and die for all mankind, even for all the wicked. Though Jesus was and is compassionate beyond measure, though he gave up his very life for the greatest needs of all, to provide heaven for all who believe on him, though he did this in perfect obedience, humility, and sufficiency, the crowd still rejected him. And even today, people say, it is not enough. As missionaries, you support the spreading of the gospel, the planting of congregations, and showing mercy. You will often be overwhelmed with needs and ask if you are making a difference with your small contribution, just like missionary Schulte. Jesus delights in those small resources, in those small measures. Jesus delights in those seemingly small beginnings. In our text, it was seven loaves and a few small fish. In the beginning, in Genesis, the Word, the Creator, began with nothing. The world was formless and void. He created all the life on earth and all the stars of heaven from nothing. He preached to one, and he preached to multitudes. He fed thousands, and he healed many one at a time, though he knew there were many more to be fed, healed, and hear the gospel. He delights in small beginnings, teaching all to depend upon him and him alone. Dear missionaries, your comfort is this. Jesus is calling you, sending you, and he is in your midst. Though the 4,000 did not see it, though the 12 were not fully aware, the Creator of heaven and earth was present before their very eyes. They only lacked the eyes of faith. And he is present with you as well. Jesus sees the needs, the disparities, and the suffering. He knows who is fainting and who will faint along the way. He watches and observes all the hardships faced, the groanings and every suffering. It is ours to simply believe and act, one person at a time. Don't ever think your contribution is too little or too insignificant. When lending a hand of mercy for teaching the saving, creative, all-powerful word of Christ, even to one. Though our eyes not see it, though the world ridicule us, in your ministry, the saving Creator of heaven and earth is at work, and he delights in such small beginnings. He blesses, he multiplies, he gives, even if not according to our standards or expectations. In fact, he gives more. He showers with grace and mercy with his good spirit, which trusts and waits on the Lord for mercies that know no end in the mansions of heaven purchased by his despised drops of blood. It is ours to believe, to faithfully teach, and insofar as we can wisely do it, also show mercy. Luther says that in this fallen world, two things do great harm to the church. Where there is great poverty in the church, few are they who dare to enter into service or even believe the gospel. So he exhorts God's people to support the church so there might not be great poverty in its ministry. But the other thing that does great harm in the church is great riches. The wealth corrupts the church's members, and the leaders no longer seek the spiritual food from Christ or teach it properly. This proper balance between mercy and preaching of the gospel, how much to give in a fallen world where temptations and suffering abounds, is difficult for Jesus. It was difficult for the apostles, and it's difficult for us today. You've heard of Crux Theologorum, cross of the theologian, why some are saved and others not. I've invented the term crux missio laborum, the cross of the missionary. The challenge of balancing the giving of eternal gifts with the giving of temporal gifts. The giving of the gospel with an unlimited storehouse in Christ balanced with the giving of those things that are here today and gone tomorrow. This could be your daily struggle as a missionary. But of this you can be certain. Christ has sent you through his church. He has equipped you with his saving, all-powerful word. The Creator of heaven and earth is at your side in the preaching and teaching and in your acts of mercy. And even in the smallest acts, Jesus delights to be at work. There he is present, and faith trusts. A faith that says with the psalmist and with the church, better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of the many wicked. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.